podcast. You're joined by me, David, and I'm joined by Aaron.
Hello.
Aaron, it was becoming a regular feature. It's just the two of us on the show, and one of us hasn't played any video games.
I've not played that many.
I guarantee you, you've played more than me.
Probably.
Let's hear it. Come on, you went to Rezzed. You are our roving reporter.
I did. I did go to Rezzed and perform a bunch of interviews.
You did? And you had Edwin the Gopher?
Yes. My son came as a mascot / sound engineer / playtester.
Brilliant.
I think he played more games there than I did.
But that could be really good because that's another perspective on it, right?
Yeah, especially if he came on the show. But unfortunately, he's in bed now. So his input to the show could be quite minimal.
Yeah,
him being asleep. But he liked most of the games he played. So
right.
He wasn't that discerning. But then again, there were a lot of quite cool games there. So he did shy away from one of the quite heavy duty retro point and click adventures, mm-hmm. which I think was fair enough because it was very retro,
mm-hmm.
point and click,
but obviously aimed at sort of that market, right?
Yeah, it's aimed at people that remember the old Infogrames Sierra Games style.
And who doesn't?
Well, yes. But yeah, I had a go with one of them. I'm just trying to find it now. And it was quite good. For the bit I obviously played. It's just trying to find it now is the problem. Because I didn't manage to interview them. Which is a shame. It's something... Unforeseen Incidents was one. That mm-hmm. was a... What was that? That was hand-drawn, slightly more modern version.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all right. That was quite nice. But they had another one that was really old school. And I can't for life remember what it was called. I thought it was something called, like, Winter, but it wasn't... it wasn't the Dead Winter, because that was a different game. This Dead Winter, that was a nice little fox game.
What was it then?
I'm trying to find it. It's on this list of games, but yeah.
Just
but yeah,
played too many. This is
I did play quite a few different games during the thing, and I can't find it in this list. Thing is, this list just has the logos, the title mm-hmm. logos, and it doesn't help much because it doesn't show you the, doesn't give you any indication of what the game's like. But yeah, when we went in, the first thing we did was play Epica. Well, sorry, we interviewed them about Epica, then Edwin played it. I didn't get to play it, unfortunately, because that was. That was a VR game.
Okay.
An exploration game, sort of a story-based exploration. You're an archaeologist and you've got this dog that comes around with you. And the civilization you're investigating is called the Epica. Epica, that was the thing. This is a bunch of people in Italy developing this game.
Okay.
It's their first game and they've gone straight for VR.
Was there quite... I mean, I know obviously Rezzed is now EGX and it's sort of under that umbrella of... I can't remember what the name of the gamer network and stuff. Was there a large sort of European development contingent as well as the British contingent or English contingent?
Yeah, because...
UK contingent?
Because another one of the games I interviewed, which was Shift Quantum, they were from Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember... The guy from Forgotten Anne, was... I can't wait though, he was... He I think he was doing an Icelandic tongue twister when I first met him, so I doubt he was. He wasn't British, but I don't know where their studio is. They may be a British studio, but he isn't British. I don't know. But they're quite an international crowd, and I know one of the games I tried to get an interview for but couldn't was because they're from China.
Okay.
So all they sent over was some PR people.
Okay.
Or got a local PR company that just dealt with it. Oh, that was it. My time in Portia or something?
Okay.
My time Portia. Yeah, Portia. Yeah. My time at Portia. There's no act in there. Okay, that's weird. But yeah, that's a Chinese development, but obviously they were there to promote their game, but just by bringing some people over, some random people. So I believe, yeah, it's a small, well, it's relatively small, but then again, Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo were all there.
Well, indie's such an important element now.
It is. It's big. And a bunch of the publishers have their own room. Because it's it looks like a retail outlet. You know, one of these small arcades where you've got different retail units.
Yes.
So that's what it seems to have been built for. And now it's just a small little conference thing, and you've got different rooms. And you go to the different rooms to see the different sections. So there's a big indie room upstairs, a big indie room downstairs, and then you've got different publishers having their own room. So there was a Tentacle room. I can't remember who they were. Were they... I think that might have been the Coach Sync, where the Coach Sync guys were. But yeah, a bunch of different publishers had their own room anyway. And then Argus had a room, and Amazon had a room, and a couple of other retailers had rooms, and there was a board game room. So yeah, it was all a bit split off, which for me wasn't great, because I had to lift the camera dolly and carry it between rooms, because it was all quite uneven paving slabs between the rooms. It was sort of stone slabs on the floor, so it wasn't really smooth concrete slabs, it was stone, so I had to keep picking it up and putting it down. So that was really annoying, and trying to get around all the rooms and making sure you've done all the rooms and all the locations in all the rooms was quite tricky. So a lot of these games on the list, and a lot of the ones you said for me to check out, I didn't even see. They must have been in a part that I just missed because of the way it was laid out. Whereas at EGX, you can just go up and down the aisles, can't you?
Yeah.
It's effectively one or two huge rooms.
Before the show, we discussed quite a few, like the train puzzle game and things like that.
Yeah, I didn't see that at all.
So,
so it was a bit weird. But there were some people who had got their booths right up against the wall. So effectively it was, 4 feet between the demo console and the wall? So unless you went right up to that wall and looked round the thing, you wouldn't have spotted them.
Mm-hmm.
I did see a couple of empty stations as well. Couple of people that looked like they just either couldn't turn up for some reason or given up by the last day, so I don't know. So whether one of those were there, but yeah, I've got around quite a few games. So we said Shift Quantum, that was made in Belgium, but they're a puzzle game, basically. Yeah, it's a puzzle platformer. So you're basically jumping between platforms, but then you can shift between black and white, and when you shift, the whole world turns upside down. So you effectively go from standing, you go from being a black silhouette to being a white silhouette, and you effectively are standing as a black silhouette on a black block, and then you flip upside down, and that black block is now, you're standing on the edge of it, but the whole thing's flipped upside down, and you've changed from black silhouette to white silhouette, and obviously all the white areas are now solid, and the black areas are now where you can walk. So that's quite a fun little concept. I got to play a bit of that, and then my my son took over and got way past where I got to. He seems quite good at that, and yeah, they actually interviewed him about it. So see whether what happens in that. So we did Epica, then we interviewed what was it? Oh, Windlands. After that.
Oh yeah, Windlands 2.
Windlands 2, yes.
Windlands 2, which looks awesome.
It does. You can play it single player. I did ask. But yeah, it's multiplayer, swinging through trees, fighting. Well, Big Robot was what was there at the time. But yeah, they showed you on a ship sailing along. You and three other guys, because they had four stations there. I don't know whether you can have more people. But it's a co-op. It's not a competitive. So you're fighting monsters in the world.
Okay.
So yeah, that looked quite fun. And apparently it scales. So the more people that are there, the harder the level gets. And it's okay. And it is drop-in, drop-out. If you start playing it multiplayer, you can start playing multiplayer, single-player. You know what I mean?
All right, and then people can just join and you type thing.
Then, yeah, your mates can just join, drop-in. But if you start playing it single-player, so offline effectively, then it is just a single-player playthrough. Yeah, your mates can just drop in, drop out, that sort of thing. So that looked quite interesting. And I'm quite interested in playing that. But yeah, I didn't get to play it at the time because I just completely ran out of time in the end. Because I was just trying to get around as many games as possible. So after that, yeah, we did Shift Quantum. I played another game that I don't know, For the King.
Okay.
Which was a hex-based turn battle game. It was a bit weird. I think it's supposed to be a co-op game. But I was playing all the... Basically, there was three characters you got to play with. And you basically... You did a move and finished the turn of that player. Then you did a move. So I don't know whether the three different players were supposed to be three different people. Or whether the three different characters were just three different characters that you were supposed to play all three of them. So I don't know how that worked because I didn't get around to interviewing them. But yeah, that was okay. It was a bit confusing to start with, but apparently they skipped the intro, the demo, tutorial for us to play. So that meant effectively you just got thrown in
at the deep end.
Yeah, and you worked out how all the combat and everything worked.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite a novel experience doing that. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I got to do. I got to interview the Staxel guys, actually.
Staxel, this is the farming voxel game.
Yes. Yeah, that's the point. I've just noticed I haven't got the Staxel interview in my list of interviews.
Mm. This is one of the ones on my Steam wishlist, which they very kindly give us a code for, so I'm going to...
Yeah, and it's multiplayer now.
Was it not multiplayer at the beginning?
I don't know. I think maybe at the beginning the multiplayer was a bit buggy and horrible when I first got it. Because the only way to get it originally was to go on their website and buy it from there. And it was very basic when I first got access to it. But apparently they've finished the engine now. It's in early access on Steam now, but they finished the engine, and now what they're doing is adding content and adding story and adding other things. Because to start with, it was just, you basically got a farm and you did some farming and sold your stuff and upgraded your farm and built your farm and things like that.
Harvest Moon, but Minecraft.
Yeah, but Minecraft building. So you built with blocks and built your houses and your barns and whatever, however you want.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it. I'm a bit biased, I like it. I got it quite early on. But yeah,
it went to my wish list just so I could follow it.
And it
sort of came out on early access.
Yeah, so yeah, it's out in. It's out in early access now.
What's the Occupation there again?
What do you mean?
The game, The Occupation.
I didn't see that. Aren't they? No, maybe they're not. I thought they had a big publisher.
They've got Square Enix, haven't they?
Yeah, because I don't know. Square Enix were there.
Because they've got their own indie range, right?
Yeah, the Square Enix Collective. Because Forgotten Anne is on their list.
Oh yes,
They're on there as well. So. Yeah, that's strange that I didn't see them.
I think it's great. I could be completely wrong, but I've got...
It was around there on the Rest's EGX last year. It was around the same area, but whether it was that actual area, I don't know.
But I wasn't at EGX, so I wouldn't have known that.
No, you wouldn't.
So that sort of semi-corroborates what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. No idea.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, I have got...
Did you play Ooblets at all?
No. Yeah, sorry, I've got two more interviews I've not edited yet. I've just realised.
Oh, all right. What are you doing?
I know.
That's just not good enough.
Yes, they'll be out. I'll get them out either today or tomorrow.
So out of all the games you play, have any of them got you like really excited, or have all of them got you really excited? Is there?
Dulac and Fae, I really like that game. But I was going
sorry,
to...
Sorry, say again, which one?
Dulac and Fae.
Dulac and Fae, which one was that?
That is a adventure sort of... it's a narrative story based puzzle adventure game sort of thing. It's sort of a, think of a really modern point and click adventure, not your retro,
like Oxenfree.
Yes, but a lot more production values and graphics. It's fully voiced. It's got cutscenes and things like that. So
is
yeah,
it on Steam's pre-order?
I believe it's on wishlist at the moment. I don't think it's pre-order.
Okay, what's it called? I'm gonna go look.
Dulac and Fae.
How do I spell Dulac?
D-U space L-A-C.
D-U-L-A-C. No, it doesn't.
Okay, because I know they're looking for a publisher at the moment.
No, it doesn't look like it's on the.
Okay. So that's one. Forgotten Anne, obviously, that's coming out May 15th. We've actually got a date for that now. So, so that's looking good.
I do like it, it looks very stylish.
It does.
Yeah, that looks really nice.
But apparently it's an 18 certificate.
Oh, right.
When it comes out.
Really?
Yes. She said it was definitely going to be an 18 certificate. Absolutely, definitely, do not show this to kids. Although the demo that we had there...
How did you handle that with Edwin?
Well, no, because the demo they had there, he could play.
Ah, okay.
Because they didn't want to be in the 18 area, right. Out the way. They wanted to be on the main floor, so they had
that's
to make sure...
I feel like that's an interesting choice to make, especially as a indie dev. Because you'd feel like with point and click, you kind of want to hit the biggest market possible, but maybe they just want to tell the story they want to tell, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's set in sort of, I think it's a set in old London era.
Yeah, it's set with the Ripper, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 1888.
Okay.
Join The tagline is 1888, the Ripper stalks London streets. Join Arthurian immortals Sir Lancelot du Lac and Morgana Le Fay for a thrilling quest to stop history's most infamous murderer and save the cité.
Oh, I did. The intro, you're not doing that. You're okay. Solving a local... You're outside London in a little town, solving a local murder.
So maybe that just gives you the...
Gives you a taste of the gameplay.
The taste of what it is, yeah, rather than actually revealing any of the actual game. You know what? A vertical slice, that's
yes,
what I call it.
Yes.
That's an annoying term that's bandied around.
Yeah, and there's... There wasn't a quick time event, but there was a combat mechanic in there.
Okay, how did that work?
Well, basically, there was a bar that went across, and you had to click the mouse at the right time.
Okay, it's a bit like...
Think of a golf game, you know.
You're
trying to hit the sweet spot.
A golf game sounds actually bang on, right?
Yeah. So you're trying to click it at the right time where you know. So that's a great game. It does look quite dark, but apparently there's murders, prostitutions, all sorts.
Okay, so they're really sort of drilling down into the darkest bits.
Obviously, all the kids loved it because there was a dog.
Right.
A big floppy-eared dog that was Fae.
Yeah.
So that's obviously Morgana the Fae, and they do mention Merlin in it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Magician.
So there's obviously going to be magic and the like. Catastronauts was quite good.
So what is Catastronauts?
That is... what's that game? Combat FTL.
Okay. Space trucking game.
Yeah, sort of. It's just a space combat. It's just the combat. But instead of you pointing and clicking your crew to tell them where to go, each player plays a member of the crew.
Ooh.
So effectively, we were playing three player, and we had to basically control the crew to take them around the ship to fix the ship, fire the weapons.
It's a bit like, have you ever played Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time?
No.
So Lovers is a couch co-op space shooter, but it's very much more a adventure, like an action shooter, rather than a FTL style.
Okay, well this is couch co-op as well. So this is couch co-op only.
Okay.
But it's... Yeah, it's...
No online component at all?
Not at the moment. He did say they may think about it later, but at the moment, no. That was quite fun to play, but I won't be getting it because Couch Co-op.
Couch Co-op, yeah. Shame.
Yeah.
But the Couch Co-op, it does have... But I guess you've never played really Overcooked and stuff either, right?
No, because I can't play Couch Co-op. Because it's just me.
Such a shame, because Overcooked is such a fine game.
Yeah, so if you've got a bunch of mates that come round and you play, or you've got a couple of people that regularly play, then that'd be great. But,
it's always the downside of Couch Co-op. It's a bit like board games or tabletop games. You've got to find the right... There's no point buying them if you can't find a group to play them with.
Yeah. Another great sort of couch game was Fogs.
Okay, what was Fogs?
Physics Dogs, it stands for.
Oh, wow.
Basically...
So Fogs PH?
PH, yeah. PHOGS.
Okay.
Basically, you play as a two-headed dog.
Okay.
And one of you controls the red head, and the other of you controls the blue head. And you basically got a co-op, get this... Fog around the level and collect the stuff.
There used to be a platforming game on iOS with that concept, but you controlled both?
I don't know whether you can play it one player and your left stick does one and your right stick does the other.
Right.
Because it sort of seems to be that. In the fact that you only really need one stick, the shoulder button and a and a trigger. So you
it's like brothers, but
yeah, dogs. But with dogs, and they're connected. But yeah, we basically played it. Me and Edwin, one's one head, and one's the other head.
Okay.
With two controllers.
And he liked it.
And yeah, that was great. We were having a great time.
So it's
going to
be something that you'll get then.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah.
Is he allowed to sort of come up into your den now?
No. But he does play on the PS3 in the living room. You see, that's the problem. Is they've got the PS3.
Okay.
So they're not playing new games. But I think that's available on PC. So what I could do.
Steam Link it.
Is Steam Link it? Yeah.
Because Steam Link does work ridiculously well.
Well, because I've I can link it up to this network. It's a bit tricky because the living room network where the TV is that they play games is on a different network to the den.
Oh, okay.
So I'd have to somehow link it all up together. It's doable, but I'd have to think about it. But yeah, so that was another nice game we played. I'm trying to think of the others. This Dead Winter was good. You played as a fox in some weird world that it gets a bit surreal. So it's a magical world, effectively. You played as this fox, and things happen. And that's quite a nice sort of a platform story game. Not very puzzly. There's some light puzzly elements in that. So that was quite fun. I don't know whether it gets a bit more puzzly later on.
Okay.
But that was quite fun to play. I did have an interview with Big Crown Showdown.
It's Big Crown Showdown.
That is a combat platformer, maybe? Sort of. It's a top-down view. Basically, the camera goes through this level, and you've got to follow the camera, keep within shot.
Yeah.
But you're also fighting with other people on the same level at the same time. So you're trying to knock people off the platforms and the environment and get them pushed into traps and the like, while still trying to navigate this platform, these areas.
Okay.
So a little quite hectic. I didn't get to play it. Obviously, Edwin did, because he kept abandoning me to play games while I was interviewing.
How could he?
I know.
How could he, the little scamp?
But yeah, we've got a video and an interview of that, so I'll put that up.
Are all these videos going to be on our VR channel?
They are. They'll all be on Veer, and hopefully...
how we say it? Sorry, Veer.
Veer. I think. Well, that's how I've been saying it. I don't know whether that's correct. I don't know. And Little Star as well. I've put one video up there so far. Because the problem with Little Star is you upload one video, then you have to wait for it to encode before you can upload another video. So it's a
and
bit.
That process can't be automated. You can't write a script for that or something.
I don't believe so. So I might have to. See about that, because obviously if you've got a whole bunch of videos you need to upload.
Yeah, you don't want to start.
I have to basically upload one, wait for it to send me an email, then upload the next one. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Did you manage to play Armored Engines?
No, I didn't see that either. You say this, there's an awful lot of stuff there.
I'm guessing a lot of these will be at EGX proper as well.
I assume a lot of them will be, but not all of them.
Right.
So I skipped a bunch of them because I'd seen them before.
Okay.
So stuff like... what am I saying? I just saw one then. So stuff like Bomber Crew, because we interviewed them last time.
Right.
At EGX last year. And, so I didn't bother interviewing them. It's like Disco Elysium. I didn't interview them because they are, in fact, the Furies game that we interviewed last time. That's what the new name is now. So We didn't. I didn't do anything with them.
Sorry, they're not calling it Full Metal Furies, whatever.
Whatever.
No love for the Furies. No.
Something like that. No truce with the Furies.
Right.
But yeah, so they're calling it Disco Elysium. I think No Truce with the Furies was better, but oh well, that's their
choice. Trouble is everyone kept calling it the Furries, right?
A lot of people did. Some people did. But okay. But yeah, so yeah, I guess that's maybe why they changed it, I don't know. But yeah, you said to have a look at Harold Halibut and I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
What else?
I gave you like a whole little list.
You did.
Which I can't find now, irritatingly, because it's not on.
It's on WhatsApp.
Is it WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Looking in the wrong place.
Knights and Bikes, I did see there, but it was quite busy, so I.
It would have been Knights and Bikes. Yeah. Is going to be one of those sort of.
Yeah.
Big indie hitters, isn't
it? I've backed that anyway, so.
Yeah, same.
I should get that when it comes out.
I think I get both the PlayStation and the PC copy.
Yeah, my time in Porsche, I didn't see, so that's. I didn't get to even look at that, even though we couldn't have got an interview. Nelly.
My time at Porsche is.
It's already on Steam Early Access.
Is it on Steam Early Access?
I think so. I've seen people play it on YouTube and things, so.
Yeah.
Coverage out there. Nelly Coutelot. Spoon Bakes Ahoy. It's a point-and-click adventure on the iPad that my son really liked. I didn't get to play it because I was playing the other point-and-click adventures at the time.
Okay.
So I didn't get to play that, but that looked quite... He really liked that, and that looked quite good. That's oldish school, but bit better graphics, bit updated. But that did have some weird puzzles, apparently. That had some of the old-style puzzles in.
Okay.
So that was quite interesting. I saw some more of these, but I didn't get to play them. I didn't even go in the Sega area.
Well,
Sega is going to be at EGX.
Yeah. So they're always so weird at EGX, aren't they? They like block off half their booth.
Yes, they do. Yeah, but they've given us interviews before, so hopefully we'll get some interviews at EGX.
Yeah. No, don't get me. I'm not offending you, Sega, but they're very secretive. Like some of the games, I guess rightly so. But like Sonic,
you couldn't record. They wouldn't let you record.
You couldn't record, but you couldn't even like look, right?
Yeah. You couldn't look unless you queued up to play. You couldn't even see it. Yeah. Which
I guess added a mystique.
It did, but.
But yeah.
Yeah. There's people that are on the fence and aren't prepared to queue up ages for it. Just aren't going to look at it because you know.
Right, because why would you?
Yeah. I wanted to have a look at Smoke and Sacrifice, but I didn't get time to play that, so that's one I want to have a look at again.
Which one?
Smoke and Sacrifice.
What's that?
It looked quite cool. I don't know. I don't know what the gameplay is, whether it's a platform or an adventure game. But the artwork looks quite nice for that, so I want to have a look and see if it's any good. Starbound was there, apparently. Not that I got to look at that. I didn't see that, so that's it. Obviously, Staxel we've interviewed. Saw that. Strange Brigade was there, but we've interviewed them previously, so I didn't bother interviewing them again.
Locomotion didn't see. I didn't see. Get to my list now. Armored Engines you didn't see, you just said.
The Hatching was interesting. We had an interview with them. You play a Killer Croc.
Okay.
Basically, this is based on a movie, a horror, a monster movie.
Okay.
And basically, the director producer approached the dev team, said, "Could you make a game of our movie?" So they did.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it looked quite cool. Edwin did play that, and I was a little dubious about letting him play it, but it seemed all right. Basically, you play a killer croc going around killing villagers.
Villagers?
Yeah.
Crikey.
Apparently, the villagers have stolen your eggs.
Okay, so there's a legitimate reason.
Yeah. And so you're going on a rampage to go around and find your eggs. So you're killing all the villagers. So that's the story behind that one.
Okay.
So that looked quite interesting. I'm not sure how good it's going to be in general, but the general gameplay looked all right. I didn't get to play that one. Again, Edwin did, but yeah. Need to get him to give me a
record a special with Edwin,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, Trax was there again, and all of the Excalibur Games stuff.
Did you manage to speak to the Trax guy about the farm update?
No. He didn't like interviews.
Oh, yeah, he didn't like interviews, did he?
Yeah, because we interviewed for Trax at EGX, but we interviewed the James from Excalibur.
Okay.
Because they're just a bunch of individual devs that do it, and then Excalibur do the actual distribution and stuff. So, and a whole bunch of stuff I didn't see. Unforeseen Incidents, that was quite a nice little point-and-click adventure. As I said, maybe it is the Left Field Collection. No, because that was different.
Is that Square Enix Left Field?
No, Left Field is the really indie stuff.
Okay.
The left out of Left Field sort
of
stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah, sorry.
So Windlands 2, obviously I played. Played a weird game, Wobble Garden. Yes, which is a bunch of, you know, those springs you put on the back of doors to stop it. Bunch of those pointing upwards with lights, multicolored LEDs around them, that the LEDs change color depending on what you do to them. And the game is, well, there was a game and there was just a general play music with it, but yeah, you basically, every time you tapped
is this a physical product? Or
it's
is
a physical
a video game?
It's a physical product.
Okay, so these aren't digital versions of those things on top of the
door. No, it's actually a physical. I don't know whether it'll be produced. It's quite a nice little just idea.
Right.
But yeah, you pressed them and they made noises. Each one, as you wobbled and touched them, they made noises. So,
okay.
But the game was, one of them showed white LEDs around the base. You started there and you had to go to the green. You had to walk your fingers from one spring to the other to walk across these springs to get to the green. And you actually did it with your fingers.
Okay.
But there was red. Some of the springs were turning to red. Some of the circles
around.
So you
had to time it.
So you had to basically avoid that, walking on all these springs, avoiding the red to get to the green, and then eventually one would turn multicolored around it, so you had to get to that. It's quite a fun little game, and you know, you had to quick, and it was all about your dexterity on these springs, walking between spring and spring.
Mm-hmm.
With your fingers, and it was quite a fun little game.
It's a nice little concept.
Yeah, it is. Whether, obviously, I don't know that they'll ever produce it for consumption, but it's
right,
a nice little
of
project.
It would be based on, it's one of those concepts.
It's a nice little concept. Very often, Left Field will have some of these odd. Hardware.
Yeah, they
based.
Had one last time, didn't they? That was a VR thing that wasn't a game. It was just like a VR experience where you walked around and climbed under stuff.
Well, they've had all sorts of weird and wonderful things where you made music and you whistled into something and it made a light change. And they've had really good
sensory experience.
Yeah, experimental hardware-y things. And it's great that they're doing that and allowing these people to develop this and show it off.
Right.
Now, the fact that they'll do this and produce it and publicise it and then never sell it, and there's no money here at all, they're just doing it to produce it.
Right.
To say, we could do it, and isn't this fun? So it's always worth going to the Westfield just to experience Left Field Collection. It's all of these events just to experience some of these stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the time you walk through and you're just sort of drawn to random stuff, right?
Yeah. And sometimes a lot of times, some of these indie games, this is the only time you'll see them. Because they'll just disappear. Because a couple of things we interviewed at EGX last year, they're no longer around.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Exactly.
Death is a desk job. We interviewed them. And it looked quite fun.
I'm pretty sure that was at Res, Darren.
It wasn't. There was another game about death there, I believe, but not Death is a Desk Job.
I think it was there.
Okay. I tried to
look. That was one of the games I told you to go and look.
I don't think so. Death is Boring, I think, or something.
No, it's the one where you have to hire people to be death, because death was away.
Dead End Job, you mean?
Dead End Job.
That is a different game, completely.
Sorry. Yeah, no, you are correct. But that did look awesome. You got to play that?
No, I didn't even see that.
Aaron, you missed like half the show.
I know. I don't like the format of Rezzed. It's all little rooms, all tucked away. You've got, if you've got the 3 days, I'm sure you'll be able to see it all. But if all you've got is, as I had, 1 day to try and get round it all, trying to get and see all of it is quite tricky.
Yeah.
Because the thing is...
I'm hoping for EGX this year is that we can do, like, half a day of interviews and actually play some stuff.
I
doubt it.
But... I doubt it, because it depends how many interviews you want. Because half a day of interviews is maybe 4 or 5 or 6, maybe, tops.
Yeah, I know.
We're not really going to cover that many games. Last year, we did 2 whole days. Well, 2.5 days of interviews.
Well, that was when Si did it. The year before, we did it as well, right?
Yeah. We did 2 days, I think, the year before.
It is brutal.
It is brutal. It is, Now I know. Now you know. Why all these other, you know, IGN and Giant Bomb and all those lot, they can play, they gear themselves up to go to these things, because it is brutal. You're just there on your feet all day, going from one appointment to another, and just keep going. Occasionally you'll get a quarter of an hour to play a game.
Luxury.
But that's it. And I think me and Si got quarter of an hour to eat our lunch last year. That's about all you've got time for before you're on to the next appointment. And that was just having appointments. We managed to squeeze in a couple of extras, but we didn't really have time for any extras that we hadn't booked. It was all timed. Right, you're here, you're here, you're here, you're here.
Yeah.
And we had to turn down interviews last year because we didn't have enough time to fit them
AGX.
All in. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember we had the same thing. There was that guy who grabbed us for the robot game.
Yes, yeah. And we could...
We just
try and fit it in and then, yeah, rush off to our next one.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that year we were... 2016, we were almost running from one end of the thing to the other.
Yeah, it was excessive. That was the day that we ate lunch, like 3 or 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Just sort of we sat there at Starbucks, Subway. It was like, ugh, kill us.
Yeah,
but we did get some good interviews done.
We did get a lot of good interviews done. But
so, have you added anything to your Steam wishlist on the back of Rezzed?
Not yet, but yeah, I will do. I will be. That Fox definitely is going to be one I want to add, and obviously, as I said, Dulac. Windlands 2 I'm obviously going to have a look at.
Yeah, Windlands 2. I'll love Windlands 1.
I'll keep an eye on Catastronauts to see if they do online play on that one. What else? Oh, Epica looks okay, but I don't know. I'll have to see what the price point is on that, because I've got other VR games I haven't touched. And if I'm getting Windlands 2, then I've got to be careful that I don't overbuy again.
Yes.
Because I still haven't played Rise of the Tomb Raider past the first couple of bits.
No, I've still got a lot to finish, especially as I've had sort of a week off.
Yeah, and obviously I've got... what's that? Deliverance. Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't got very far on that. I still...
You got fed up with some stairs, right?
No, I'm doing some stealth.
Combat.
It was a stealthy mission I've got.
Yeah.
And I couldn't work out how to do the stealth. So I need to have another go at that. But I've been playing Wreckfest as well.
Good game. Old game.
Well, it's an old game that's been updated.
So it's still in early access.
It is. But apparently they've overhauled a lot of it. Because it's now called Wreckfest March 2018.
Okay.
It specifically says March 2018 in the name of the game at the moment.
I didn't see it update on my Steam list. I wonder if I've still got it installed.
Maybe.
That I got a long time ago. I don't know. I can't remember how you look when you first added stuff.
Wreckfest
game. There you go. October 2014.
Okay. But yeah, they're still updating it. They're still...
That's been in development for a long time.
And it's got workshop support, so you can add cars and stuff. It's got mod support, and people are modding all sorts of stuff onto it. But yeah, it's quite fun. I'm playing quite a bit of that. Because it's a nice thing that I can just pick up, do a couple of races, and have fun.
Yeah, it's a fun little game. Have you played the Demolition Derby mode in it?
I have. I'm terrible at it, but yeah, I have done that. We ought to play together. Because that's a fun game to just play and just trash each other on.
Yep, go for that.
Yeah, so we'll have to have a go at that. Because I think Simon's got it too. It looks like Simon might be able to rejoin the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yes, if we rejig the schedule a little. Because I believe we can all do the same day. So we'll have to rejig and get back. Hopefully that will all work. Yeah, and hopefully by EGX this year we'll all be able to attend.
He may have finished Gloomhaven by then.
He may have done. I'm sure he'll have another game by then.
Has that been your week then? Rezzed basically.
Rezzed. Bit of Wreckfest. I've played another game I can't talk about yet. There will be a video for that at some point.
Saw the NDAs about that one.
Yes. But yeah, that's about it. I've got another piece of hardware arriving.
Oh yeah.
I've got a what is it called? I've been mentioning it all the time. Microsoft tablet, Surface.
Oh!
I've got a Surface Pro 1 arriving.
Surface Pro. That was last year's Pro.
No, the first Surface Pro. We're on 4 now.
Oh, the really old Pro.
The really old Pro.
Oh, God, Aaron. Okay.
Okay.
Why'd you got that?
Because it's a little tablet that is better than the one I've got.
Okay.
Than the Dell I've got. Because it's got an i5 in it. It's got an Intel processor in it.
Yep.
It's got 128 gig of SSD in it.
Yeah, no, it they're perfectly good. It's just obviously been superseded quite a lot by the rest.
Yes, but it was only £130, so...
No, it's not bad.
For that sort of price.
Yeah, for a tablet. It'll run Civ 6 and Civ 5.
Yeah. It'll run a bunch of games that my current one doesn't do, and will actually store some. Because my current one only has 32 gig of internal RAM, and it'll only, at the moment, seems to support 32 gig of SSD. Not SSD, SD.
Well, let me tell you something. Civ 5 on a Surface device is amazing.
Yeah.
Because it goes into touchscreen mode.
Okay.
And it just plays beautifully in touchscreen.
Yeah, I want to put Unreal Engine on it. And Blender. And then do some development on it.
Cool.
Because I think that'll work great. Because I've got a Bluetooth mouse and keyboard now.
Yep.
So, yeah. And it's an i5, so it won't be too bad. Obviously, oh. Unreal Engine don't support Intel graphics cards for development.
Has it not got an extra, you know, a proper graphics card?
No.
Okay.
It's got an Intel
on board
4000. Okay. Which is not bad. Apparently, it will, in theory, play Wreckfest.
That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it'll play some reasonably required. So maybe Staxel will play. Maybe, you know, I can play some Minecraft on it and play. Maybe it'll even play Elite Dangerous. Who knows?
It should play most indie games.
Most indie games. Yeah, it depends on the DirectX requirements. If it requires
the demand deosity.
Yeah, the shader versions and all that lot. Because I think the 4000 doesn't support shader version 3 or something.
Okay.
So if it requires that, then it just won't run. It won't run at all. No matter how slow or terrible I want it to run, it just won't. So we'll see. We'll see how far I get with it. Because I know on my Atom tablet, I can get Unreal Engine to work. They don't support it. They say it doesn't work on it. But it does actually boot up and work. And I can actually develop on it. Slowly. And I can't actually run the game. Because the game doesn't run very well in it. Because it just doesn't have power on an Atom processor to have the editor and the game open.
Mm-hmm.
But you can actually do the development work. What you can't then do is test your development. But that's fine. If
so
all
I assume you can write code on anything, right?
Well, no, because it's all graphical-based coding.
Oh, I see.
If you're just writing C, yes, or C-sharp or whatever.
Yeah, you can write that in a notepad.
You write that in you know, text editor or whatever, and compile it even. But, yeah, if you want to do the full GUI. But, yeah, you can. It'll run Blender. You know, the Atom processor does all that, and you can do. If you've got a really basic game, it will actually run in the editor on Unreal, but as soon as you get too complicated, obviously it'll fall over because you've only got a tiny amount of processing. It's dual thread, but that's about the best you're going to get on that. So, but yeah, so hopefully that will arrive next week and we'll be good.
Sounds really cool. I've had a bit of a funnier week.
Yeah?
I haven't played a single video game. I don't even think I've played one on my phone. I played Polytopia on my phone. It's a lie.
Okay.
Polytopia is a 4X game.
All right, yeah.
But it's boiled down to its absolute simplest.
Yeah.
And they've tried to simplify absolutely everything.
Have they simplified it too much, though?
No, it really lends itself to play. Games last about 5 to 10 minutes, maybe tops.
Yeah.
And it works really well on mobile. Like, obviously, you know, it's not a full 4X game in terms of it's not vast. It's got a limited map space and things like that. But you can, it's got a diplomacy system. It's got a harvesting system. It's got resources. It's got everything you would expect. It's got talent trees, you know, or whatever they call them in 4X games. Tech trees.
Tech trees, yeah, that's one.
Tech trees.
Yeah.
It's got everything you would expect, but it's mobile, so it's got a really nice art style. I've never played with the music on, so I can't talk about the audio side of things. But it's really good. If you're looking for like a mobile 4X game and you don't want something as heavy as Civ Revolution 1 or 2, which of course are on iOS and are fantastic, it's less involved than those. That gives you a really good idea. So I would say Civ Rev is a mobile 4X game in terms of it is like playing a 4X game. It can take a good while to finish a Civ Rev game. Whereas Polytopia is really quick. It's not quite toilet break quick, but it's certainly coffee break quick.
Okay. Yeah, so I've not tried to play too many 4X type games on my phone.
Try Polytopia.
I'll have to see. Does it work well for just pausing and opening?
Yeah.
Because
it plays like a mobile game, but it just happens to be a 4X game. So, which I think was their mission. I think they wanted to design a mobile game that was a 4X game. So it's got all the nice features of a mobile game that you expect. So you can drop in, drop out. It doesn't take forever. Those sort of things.
Okay. Oh, maybe give it a go.
I don't think I've played anything else. I've played lots of physical games. I've been playing quite a lot of Zombicide with my friends.
Yeah.
I played Zombicide, played Monopoly Deal. Yeah, it's been one of those weeks. I haven't really done anything. There's a lot going on Kickstarter at the moment that's making my wallet tremble.
I'm staying away from there.
Oh my god. So there is a game on there called God Tier. Which is an arena combat game.
Okay.
And it's miniatures, and it's designed for fast-paced play. And the rules are, like, they're really working on it. They're sort of updating them once a week. But they are genuinely trying to keep it fast-paced. And the base package is £79. I think that includes six champions.
Okay.
So basically, you line up teams of champions against each other. I think the basic is 2v2. And you've got objectives, and you've got combat, and you've got everything else, and whoever gets 5 victory point wins. And there's various ways to get victory points. That's essentially got to.
Okay.
And it looks amazing. Yeah. So the base thing is 79, but the all-in is like 210? But that does include something like 13 or 14 champions. I mean, it's ridiculous what you're getting for that.
Yeah, but it's also
the retail price that you'll be paying. As long as you're going to play the game, that's the,
yeah.
With all of these things, and at the same time, the next Zombicide is on Kickstarter. So Zombicide Invaders on Kickstarter. So that's the space version of Zombicide.
Okay.
Which is going to be amazing by the looks of it. So essentially, you're trapped on a mining colony. So far, so very sci-fi, and a xeno mold has been discovered that causes xeno mutants to appear.
Yeah.
But the mold can spawn on the board at various points, and so the spawn points can move. It's not like traditional Zombicide where they're sort of semi-fixed.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more strategy involved in that. And it just, yeah, again, looks brilliant. But again, base pledge, around £80.
Yeah.
So it's pretty punchy. Farball Islands back on Kickstarter. There are a couple of smaller ones. I've backed Be the Pickle, which is a card game about making sure you are the pickle at the end of the game.
Okay.
And I've grabbed Crypt, which is a worker placement game with dice.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I haven't actually played many games. I've got Shades, Warhammer Underworld Shadespire, which is again it's another sort of fast-paced arena combat game. I've got the miniatures to assemble for that. Whether or not I paint them, I don't know. I decided. But I've got to assemble all of those, and I'm going to give that a game this week. And I've got a game called Pie Town. Pie Town is a baking competition game, which looks awesome. Everyone should play baking. So I've been busy not playing video games, but I there's quite a bit I wanted to get involved with, including Staxel, now that I've got code.
Yes.
I want to play some more. Oh, I have played. I played Ender Space 2. Do you remember last week I said Ender Space 2? I couldn't really get into it. I had to stop.
Yes.
So I went back to Ender Space 2.
Right.
Phenomenal. Once you sort of get its 4X system.
Yeah.
And you understand what the various currencies are and what the various bits do. It's absolutely blinding. It's brilliant, and I heartily recommend it to anyone who wants to play a Space 4X game.
Okay.
I haven't really encountered tons of story, but that might be because I skipped some of the stuff. But it's just really good. The actual game is brilliant. It's lovely to sit there playing it. I beat some pirates. Started on me, so I sent my flagship over to deal with them. It's great fun. Highly, highly recommend it.
Okay.
Do it. But apart from that, I've just got miniatures to assemble. It's kind of my priority in life at the moment. But I can't play until I've assembled the miniatures, which is somewhat annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my life at the moment is video editing, audio editing, and trying to get hold of the right sort of content so I can put them into the videos.
Well, I'll tell you what, should we say bye to the listener folk and go and play some Staxel?
We could do, and then at least we'll have a nice multiplayer game to talk about next week.
Yeah. Aaron, where can people follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
You can follow me over at Fleishy on Twitter. You can follow the entire show at The Loopcasters. You can email my last theloopcasters@hotmail.com.
You can.
You can do other stuff as well, but I've kind of blanked. And you can go to our website, which is the
infiniteloopcast.com.
Listen on iTunes every week. Support us by going to the infiniteloop.citykeys. And apart from that, we'll see you then.
Bye.